their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And we bring you holiday greetings. This is, I don't know if this is going to be our last episode before the end of the year or not, but pretty close. We might squeeze one more episode in by New Year's. How are you doing today, Rick?
I'm doing well. And of course, you're talking about when we record versus when we publish, which can be different and always is.
It could be, but but yeah, I'm just looking to see if, like, I'm looking at the calendar, and this one might be the last one that we have for 2020. And no argument from me. Like, we can't end 2020 soon enough.
Put a stake through its heart.
I do have a feeling that we need to, that the first few months of 2021 are still going to be kind of hunkered down.
They're going to be 2020 part two, I'm afraid.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah. The assessment of 2020 has been a strange year. I can't believe that we are, we're still recording these remotely. We've gotten pretty used to it, but it'll be nice to do them in person again. It's certainly more fun.
Yeah, it gets old.
You haven't been over here. You haven't been over here to the recording area since February, since you got the flu that wasn't COVID.
Very true. Or yeah. Who knows what it was. And it certainly put a damper on other things that we could have been doing this time, during this time. But no, hopefully that will improve shortly.
So what are we doing? We're playing with camera lenses and everything.
Yes, we are. And then we arrange a handoff at a distance, you know.
That's right. Yes, we take the claw out with the pole and just, you know, like loop it over the bag and hand it to you. Yeah. So this week we're going to be talking about a lens that we got again on loan from our friends at B&H Photo. So super thanks.
Yay. To them.
You know, they really came through for us here, and we're going to talk about the 50 millimeter 1.2S Z Nikkor, or Nikkor Z. I don't know how you describe them, but. Before we do that, we had mentioned before that we wanted to have another, before the end of the year, we want to have a get together. So we've decided to have the online Image Doctors virtual holiday party. And we're going to do this on New Year's Eve during the daytime in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that means it will be hopefully accessible to our listeners in the UK and elsewhere?
Yeah. When we did one a few weeks ago, it was later in the day, and the intent was to try to get some listeners from Australia. I don't think that worked out. At least I didn't see people or hear from people that I know are from there. But it was a good-sized group.
Yeah, we had fun. So we'll do another one. So we'll put it up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. We'll have a link there, as well as on my website, luminescentphoto.com. We are planning this for 2 p.m. Eastern Time on New Year's Eve, January 31st, here in the U.S. If you are in Australia, I don't know what time that might be. Maybe you're awake because it's...
Should be.
You know, maybe you'll be up all night. But we'll go for about an hour and change. We'll enjoy it. Bring champagne or whatever you want to talk about, and we'll just be hanging out like we always do, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. So check in our Facebook page for a link to that coming very soon. Okay, so let's move on into talking about this lens that we got. Again, thanks from B&H Photo for getting us one quickly on loan. This is an interesting thing. So a little background. So this is a 50 millimeter f1.2. And why is this significant? A couple of reasons. Nikon's never had an autofocus f1.2 lens, if I'm correct, if I recall. You've actually got the predecessor, which was manual focus AIS 50 millimeter 1.2.
Right.
And so when this one came out, this is an example of, at least to me, this is an example of Nikon engineers being able to produce a lens for the new Z mount that would have been either difficult, if not impractical or impossible, to do with the F mount. So
Yeah.
Z shooters get something here.
And if you look at the AIS lens, you can tell there's just barely enough room for that rear element in there and nothing else, certainly not electrical contacts and that stuff. It just barely fits in there. So that wider mount on the Z cameras definitely is enabling some new designs. And we'll see more of those. I think there's likely to be an 85-1.2 in the future, which should be a really nice lens. And that was something else that just didn't work before.
So let's just talk a little bit about the lens, our impressions, how it handles, how it performs optically. And then I think you have to put it into, I think what we'll try to do today is put it into like the larger context of, is this something that you want in your bag or not?
And we'll
Because
add
there's,
in some personal opinions too.
sure.
But keep in mind, those very well are different than your own.
So we've had the lens for about a week, and so I gave my first imp I did a YouTube video on my channel of unboxing the thing with first impressions. And my first impression of this lens was, whoa, this is heavy. I don't mean like heavy, Doc, but like
It's
in the
not your
future, there's
average 50-millimeter lens.
no, this lens weighs in at like a th it's like a kil over a kilogram, right? I mean, it's like 2.5 pounds. It is a monster. It is an absolute beast lens. It's got an 82 millimeter front filter thread. This is not your father's 50 millimeter
No, and
lens.
it's pretty long too, in terms of
Yeah.
the physical length.
It compares similarly in length to the 24 to 70 2.8,
Well, to
or
clarify, it's longer
yeah.
and it's heavier,
Yeah.
so
And
it's big.
right. Or even like the 300 f/4 PF. It's kind of in that size category. And it's probably heavier than that one too. So this is a monster lens. And obviously it's designed to be used, the point of it, of course, is that you get a full 1 1/3 stops faster than the 51.8S. So, and now Nikon is taking advantage of this much larger Z mount. So our hope, our assumption would be that this lens would be a good performer and hopefully wide open. Because honestly, you're buying a lens like why? I mean, let's just talk about it for a second. I mean, all other things being equal, why do you want a 50 millimeter 1.2? Why a 1.2 versus a 1.8? Right? I mean, that's that extra stop. It's not because of speed of, it's not because of shutter speed. Let's put it that way.
It's really not anymore. The and it's something that's changed. At the time I got that AIS lens, which was like 30 years ago, and I was telling you I got it used. I paid $90 for it. It was a steal then. It was one of those, well, I'd be stupid not to get this.
Right.
It's tiny. It is tiny in comparison. You, if you set the two beside each other, you hardly even see the AIS lens. It's so small, So it was not a hard lens to chuck in a bag along with some other things just in case. This is not a lens that you chuck in the bag along with other things just in case. It takes up the whole freaking bag,
Yeah, it is absolutely huge. So then why
But
would you want it though? I mean, then why ha you know, what is this lens for?
yeah, so let's just talk about several things. I think one of the things that we ought to clarify and just get out of the way early on is this thing is really, really good optically.
Oh
There's
yeah.
no doubt.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
It's
And
amazing.
we, between the two of us, we compared it to, I guess, what, about four other 50 millimeter lenses, and it was
Yes.
just astoundingly good. I'm going to still try to do a few more here in the next week, and we might talk about those very briefly in the next podcast. But we did do comparisons. But it's extremely good optically. No concerns there. So, going on to how you would use it, because this is the thing. A normal 50 millimeter lens is a pretty small thing. It's pretty compact. It's not something that scares away people. It doesn't Right. weigh a lot. So you're pretty agile with it. That changes with this lens. This thing is very large, very noticeable, very heavy. So it's just not casual. So it's a different shooting style. In some ways you could say, well, maybe it would be good for a studio environment, but really most of the time in a studio you're using lights and you're going to be stopped down a bit. You're unlikely to want or need to shoot wide open unless it's some special look that you're striving for. So I think you're more likely to use it on location. It's just, you have to realize that this is a hunk to bring with you. And it's very noticeable. But I think, wedding photographers could really enjoy this if they gravitate toward the 50 millimeter focal length. You can certainly get in close and shoot wide open and blur out lots of nice things, cliche shots like the rings, and stuff at a wedding ceremony. That would look nice and pretty, and several other things would look good. But it's not a general purpose lens in the way a 50 millimeter lens typically is. It's just not.
Right. One thing as well, I guess the question, going back to optical performance, first of all, I should just point out, what we both saw was that this lens is sharp, wide open. It's very good, not only in the center, but it's certainly good in the edges of the frame as well. And you stop it down to like 1.4 or 1.8, and now it's razor sharp. I mean, it's really, really good. It also doesn't have that hazy, milky kind of issue that the F-mount, the 1.8 or F1.4 50 millimeter lenses had. And I guess also your 51-2 was that same thing, almost soft, almost to the point of like using like a soft focus effect, So. Yeah, so a lot clearer. The clarity is better.
Yeah, to be clear, the four lenses that we compared it against between the two of us were the 50 1.8 S lens, which is an extremely good, extremely sharp lens, wide open. You don't have to worry about shooting it wide open. We used my 50 1.28 AIS lens, which wide open and with very careful focusing. Look like a filter coated with Vaseline had been put on top of it in comparison. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. This is not hyperbole here. It was radically less sharp. It sharpens up as you stop that down, but the whole point is, what does it do wide open? So unless you're looking for that very hazy, blurred look, it's not what you want, and it doesn't make the overall photo nice, in my opinion. I don't think it helps with the background. It just looks kind of weird. And then we also tried the 51-4 G, F mount lens, and the 58 1.4 G lens, which is a bit more of a portrait lens, a little bit longer focal length, interesting background rendition.
And I'll just throw in that I had the 51.8 G as well.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So that's maybe that five lenses. Yeah, because I was comparing the 51.8s a while back on my website. So
yeah, but the AIS lens was noticeably worse than the other F mount lenses. The other ones were better. They were kind of similar. None were as sharp as the 51.2 S, other than the other S lens. And the other thing was that chromatic aberration was really pronounced with the 58-1.4 or the 51-4. With the AIS lens, there was just so much, what's called spherical aberration that put that cloud over it. I'm not sure I could really tell what was going on with the other aberrations, to be honest. They seemed better, but it's just, they may have been covered up. But that was a huge difference. I was seeing a lot of color fringing with the other lenses. And it was small with the 1.2S lens. There was some, but it was a small amount. You do need something like Lightroom to clean it up. Capture One, for example, won't clean it up. It doesn't handle the longitudinal chromatic aberration that we were seeing at all. It just doesn't.
You're talking about with the 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or I found that the CA was there wide open. It wasn't terrible. You could see it if you zoomed in. Mm-hmm. I could easily eyedropper it out with Lightroom. And by the time I was at 1.8, it was virtually gone. So, yeah. I mean, you're really, you know.
Those other lenses are considerably nastier in that respect. Lots to clean up.
Not counting the 51.8S, which has very little
yes.
aberration at all, even wide open. So, yeah. In fact, I would say that the 51.8S was had less chromatic aberration wide open than the 1.2. But you kind of expect that. I mean, it's not this was not understanding. So, you know, I mean, one of the things you might ask is like, what are you trying? You know, what are you trying to get with a 51.2? You know, it's getting isolation of subjects. And it comes in handy, I think, in situations where maybe you can't back up far enough. Like if you've got an 85 or a 105 and you want to do like a full length shot or something like that of the bride and groom or the engagement photo, you got to be able to back up quite a bit to get that shot framed in. If you don't have the space, the 50 is going to be your friend because you've got a wider angle of view and you're still going to be able to render those pleasing out of focus backgrounds.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, similarly with the wedding shooting, if you're taking shots of the bride and groom getting ready and a lot of those typical scenes and you're indoors, the 50 is going to be a little bit easier to use. The 85 on occasion will just push you out a little bit too far for compositions. You end up, you know, running into a wall or something else. So the 50 especially can be nice for those.
Especially if there's more than one person in the shot. So as soon as you get a group of two or three people and you're, you know, again, in a tight spot or indoors, 50 might be your friend. It really might happen. Now, the converse of this, you know, the flip side is that if you're shooting with the 50 and you want to frame up a portrait of just a single person or whatever, you do have to get much closer. And then you're in their face almost with this gigantic thing. You know? So if you don't know the people well, this could be intimidating potentially. I mean, obviously, you know, it depends on the event. It depends on the person's comfort with you. But there's a big difference in terms of the working distance between individual portraits. I would probably like to shoot with an 85 if it was a headshot. But two or three people, you know, you're going to be able to stop down to F4. And this is going to be so sharp. It's really, really good. So, you know, it's a thing to consider.
And related to all of that, you know, with the 50, it's going to be slightly harder to control the background. You know, you're going to be able to get some nice blur in it. Probably not as much as you think, unless you get pretty close to your subject.
Right.
But you'll get some nice blur. Something like an 85 will definitely isolate more, though. Just no question. It just has to do with that angle of view restricting what shows up from the background. And that's the thing that really makes a difference.
Right. And you can't achieve that cropping.
I would not get the 51.2 expecting just wild subject blur in general. You have to get kind of close. And then it can be a little bit awkward. You know, one of the things I find is that with the 50, you have to be a little bit more sensitive to the height that you're at relative to your subject. It can be easy to start looking down at your subject and then you see their feet, you know, kind of I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you have
quite
that look of their body tapering down in a way that doesn't look quite right. So you just have to watch it a little bit more. 85, you know, is you can almost be brain dead and shoot with one of those in comparison with the 50.
Yeah, it's a little trickier. Now, I mean, I did have the opportunity to shoot my sister's recent wedding over the weekend.
That was handy.
Mazel tov. Yes, and it was all, yes, shooting outdoors wearing a mask, I got a lot of fog. But you know what? That at least it was on the inside. It wasn't because of the lens. The lens was great. But yeah, it was I was able to shoot that because it was so small, because obviously we did not have it was clearly outdoors, and it was a small amount of people, so being able to do that was not a problem. And there were definitely times where, you know, I brought the 85, and I didn't end up using my 85 simply because I was able to get close enough for the shots. And the out of focus backgrounds were lovely. I got some portraits of my family, you know, just, you know, with that, and it was outstanding. But you know, I pulled this out of my camera bag, and everyone kind of looks over there. It's like, whoa, what is that? You know, and of course, my dad, who you know, knows his way around Nikons, he's like, that's a 50 millimeter lens. You know, I mean, it was like, really. But you know, it's a great lens. I mean, it has all the fancy stuff that the high-end S lenses do that you don't get on the 1.8 line, which is, it's got the digital LCD viewfinder, you know, the not the viewfinder, the information panel, the distance scale, the hyperfocal. You can use it as an aperture. It has the control ring on the back, the lens function. But you know, it's got all those features that you find on the higher tier of Nikon's S glass. And you know, if that's important to you, you know, it's kind of nice. It's not the reason I would buy it, but it's a good thing. So, you know, I mean, this again is an interesting animal. This is kind of like, you know, what would be our recommendation? I mean, clearly Nikon engineering went ahead and they said, let's just go and make one of these, right? It's almost to me like it's a proof of concept lens. Not like crazy, like that Nokta thing that they've come out with, you know, the $7,000 beast. But this is a $2,100 lens in the US. It's over $2,000.
Yeah.
And it's a monster. So
The one thing that did run through my mind is I kind of wonder if some senior main manager at Nikon used the wrong wording with the or word choice with some of the engineers in terms of optical performance and size constraints. I think someone said, make it really good optically and don't worry at all about the size and weight. And what they should have said is, make it really good optically and don't make it crazy in size. I have a hunch that it could have been really good, slightly smaller. But
But it is what it
yes,
is.
I'm not an optical engineer.
So this is one of those things, you know, there's I think this is one of those specialty lenses that you have to ask yourself, do I have a real application for this before you just go and drop 2100 bucks
A
on a lens like
recurring application.
yeah
Because it is,
because
let's be clear, it's a wonderful lens. I've had fun shooting portraits with it. I would have fun keeping it around for a while. It's just not something I would choose to go out and buy because I don't have that recurring need like a wedding photographer might or someone else.
So here's the thing that, and this is just, you know, one of those glass half full, like you don't really know where things stand. When I first saw the price tag on the 51.8, which is about, I don't know what it goes for, like $600 is the list. You can sometimes get it on sale, right? So it's about $500 right now. I thought, wow, that's more than twice the price of my 51.8G, right? And obviously, it's a better lens. There's no question. Well, looking at this in comparison now and seeing how these lenses perform against their, you know, F component, you've tested now. I mean, the 51.8, it's probably, frankly, better than the 51.4G, right?
Oh
Your F
God,
nine,
yes.
right? And
And even not even close.
that lens is much more expensive. So if you're shooting with a Nikon Z mount, which we happen to be, these native lenses are just tremendously good at, because you don't need to stop them down from wide open. They are clear. They don't have that hazy look. They don't have that loss of sharpness that you need to stop down a bit. I mean, even my 51.4, when I used to have it was like, eh, but I'll stop it down to like F2. And then it was good. You know, F2 to 2.8, it was really good.
And that was common with the older lenses. You
Yeah.
bought an F 1.4 lens so you could shoot it at F2.
Right. But these you can shoot wide open. So in the, if you want a 50 millimeter lens, but you don't absolutely use it all the time, or you aren't doing the specific application, it makes the $500 1.8 look like an absolute steal, because it's
honestly, it really is very good.
Honestly. I mean,
that doesn't mean it's cheap, but it's really good for the price point. Really good.
Because again, you can shoot it wide open without worrying about chromatic aberration. So, interesting beast. We both like this lens. Again, probably put in the category of, are we going to buy it? No. But then we don't do that kind of photography. I know people who would probably love this lens, and that's a different thing.
Yeah, and they shouldn't worry a lot about any hesitations that we have, because they're coming from people who shoot differently.
Mm-hmm. So it was fun to use, because it sort of took us out of our normal kind of zone. And just be very aware that if you're outdoors shooting wide open, your shutter speeds are going to be in the 5,000th of a second and up range if it's sunny. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you may find yourself wanting to get a neutral density filter, you know, a couple stops, just to bring your shutter speeds down a little bit. And especially true for videography, right, where you need slower shutter speeds. So you know, that 1.2 comes with a penalty of sometimes you have to stop down. It's just too bright. And this was even at ISO 64 with the Z7. So, you know, there's things there. That gets pretty bright. But definitely two thumbs up in terms of, like, what it does. It's an outstanding lens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if we forgot something, you can beat us up over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. Again, big thank you to B&H Photo for loaning this lens to us. And
like I said, we will potentially sneak in a few comments on other lenses, maybe the Sigma 51-4, you know, during the next podcast, but it'll be really... really short. And what I would expect is that lens will be a little bit better than the 51-4G in terms of sharpness. It's a very sharp lens, better than the 58-1.4, probably approaching this one, but it's not going to have the same degree of blur in the background. It'll be a little bit less. Just a little bit.
Always
That's
more
my prediction. To
do over spending the holidays isolated inside. So, you know, it's all good. But until next time, we thank you for listening. Happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.